Acts chapter 13. Now, those of you who have not been here before are allowed to peek. Those of you who are here on a regular basis, notice I didn't say normal people because you're not, and I want to be honest about that, are already cheating, so I can't stop you. So here we go. Jesus, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said to those of us who are disciples, He said, here's what I want you to do. What was it?
Be witnesses.
Be witnesses. I'll say it again, not necessarily need to explain it again. I can't be a witness the same way they were a witness. These eyes didn't see, these ears didn't hear, these hands didn't touch. But I can tell people what I know about Jesus. And in Acts chapter, in the whole book of Acts, I get to read all kinds of things that those witnesses told about Jesus. So I know that if they saw it, if they heard it, then I can repeat it. Right? One more time. If they said it, I can repeat it and know that it's true. All right? So in Acts chapter 2, what's one thing I could tell my friends about Jesus? He's the man. I love that. Get me in Acts chapter 3. What's one thing I could do say about Jesus? He is the Prince of Life. And Francis can't answer anymore because she's got two in a row. All right? And we're not giving out extra pieces of chicken, so it ain't happening. Acts chapter... I tell you what, tell me something out of Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 that I could tell somebody about Jesus. Yeah, there you go. That Jesus is the great grandson, a fellow named Abraham, and God kept His promise to Abraham in Jesus. All right, give me something out of Acts chapter 8 that I can talk to my friends about Jesus. Something I can say about Jesus. They said it. I mean, they saw it. They heard it. If they said it, I can repeat it. Tell me. I love the one about the Ethiopian eunuch, the Ethiopian hunch. I love the fact that he started from that same scripture and talked to him about Jesus. You can do that, y'all. You can go to your Bible and you can talk to people about Jesus. Give me one out of Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. What's something I can tell somebody about Jesus out of Acts chapter 10? Forgiveness of sins begins with Him. And it doesn't matter if you're red, yellow, black, or white, or polka-dotted stripe. It doesn't matter. All races, all peoples, all cultures, all languages, all color, whatever it is about you that makes you unique, there's a place for you in the good news about Jesus. And Acts chapter 10 confirms that. All right, now look at Acts chapter 13. We're going to start reading in verse 6, okay? The Holy Spirit had tapped a couple of fellows, a fellow named Saul and a fellow named Barnabas, and He said, I want these guys, I want them to go all over the place telling people what they know about Me. They traveled through the whole island until they came to a place called Paphos, all right? Oh, I'm sorry, back up verse 4. You got to see this. The two of them sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went to a place I can't pronounce, and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the Word of God. Now, just stop a second. That's just how easy that is. You get to a place and you proclaim the Word of God. Now, the moment we say proclaim the Word of God, those of us who grew up going to church think what? A three-point sermon with a poem and a stand and altar call at the end, right? They proclaimed the Word of God may not be anything more than just they started talking what they knew about God. It's not necessarily that they stood on a street corner, though they might have stood on a street corner. It may not be that they stood in front of an audience like this, and it may have. They may have just sat down with somebody in the marketplace and said, do you happen to know what the name Jesus means? Just thought I'd remind you guys we're supposed to be asking that question, right? All right, keep reading. It says they proclaimed the Word of God in the Jewish synagogues. Now, I like this, folks. I like this. hear folks of a different religion, hear folks that don't have the same faith in Jesus that Paul and Barnabas have, and yet they so believed in Jesus, they wanted those people who honored the same God to have their same faith. Now, in our religious world, in our American culture, and it's not just American culture, it's worldwide right now, if you happen to have a different faith, if you happen to understand God in a different way, then you're not supposed to tell anybody. You're not supposed to try to change anybody's mind. You're not supposed to say what you believe because it might offend somebody if they don't believe the same way you believe. I got to be honest with you, folks. We have got to get over that. We've got to get over that. If salvation is in no other name other than Jesus, anybody want to tell me what chapter that is? Anybody want to tell me what chapter that is? Four. Y'all are good students. Acts chapter 4 says there's salvation in nobody else but in Jesus. So if I want my best friend to go to heaven, if I want my best friend to have salvation, what must I do? I must tell them something about Jesus so he can make the decision for himself. It doesn't mean you're going to run over his feelings. It doesn't mean that you're going to browbeat him into submission. It doesn't mean you're going to manipulate him or coerce him at all. It just means we have got to learn to talk about Jesus. Just talk about Jesus to those people. Now, they were talking to people who had a different faith. That's okay to do. In fact, I would recommend it. In fact, Jesus would require it. So let's talk about Jesus. Keep reading. They traveled to the whole island until they came to Paphos. And there they met a Jewish... What's that word?
Sorcerer.
I can't say it, so say it again. Jewish.
Sorcerer.
Some versions say magician, so that's what you're getting from me. Because I can't say that word. The Jewish magician, and his name was... And a false prophet named... Look at the text. Bar Jesus. This is one of those foreshadowing moments. If anybody tries to bar Jesus, what should you do? If anybody tries to bar Jesus, what should you do? I'll show you what you should do. Now, this Bar Jesus character was an attendant to the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul was, mark this down, an intelligent man. I love this. Paul and Barnabas, they're going to go tell people about Jesus, and they don't care if they're of another faith, they're going to talk about Jesus. They don't care if people are intelligent and of high authority, they're going to talk about Jesus. They don't care if there's somebody, dude's name, Bar Jesus, they're going to talk about Jesus. We sometimes, now, I won't say we, because that puts you in, you include yourself if you need to. Sometimes I look at people that are very intelligent, I look at people who are got lots of letters, alphabet after their name, and sometimes I kind of predetermine that they would not necessarily be interested in talking about Jesus because they're so smart. And then, of course, you talk to some people and you know they're too dumb. So by the time you get rid of all the smart people and time you get rid of all the dumb people, guess who you have left to talk to? That's yourself. And they put you in a home for that when you get my age. So Paul doesn't care. He's going to talk. The guy's intelligent. He's going to talk about Jesus. And I got to tell you, I asked you to pray about it last week. Last Friday, I had been invited by Texas Tech to come speak on a panel about wholeness and wellness in counselors. And the guy that called me and invited me, he said, I want you to particularly speak about spiritual things. Because if somebody's not spiritually whole... Now you understand, I'm sitting in a university where everybody in the audience are 9 people out of 4 in the audience have PhD behind their names. And some of them are serious, committed agnostics, atheists, denying even that the word spiritual doesn't belong anywhere in the counseling program. And yet I'm getting just, I had you pray and God helped, and I got a chance to stand in front of them and talk about my faith in Jesus. And I tell you what, He was amazing. I wasn't as nervous as I thought I was going to be because I remembered this class. You know what I did? I just told them what I knew about Jesus. I didn't try and impress them with me knowing more than they did. I just told them what I knew about Jesus. It was amazing, the response. I told them about you guys. And when I finished talking about what we believe about Jesus and how we try to help, or how we try to receive people like Jesus here, one of those very educated people went, "Wow, I love that. I love that somebody was listening about Jesus." I have no idea what the presentation was like, but I do know that I got a chance to say what I believe about Jesus. That's what we're talking about. Just talk about Jesus. People intelligent, talk about what you know. You don't have to talk about what they know or don't know. Talk about what you know. Somebody real dumb, they're kin to me. Be nice to them, all right? All right, keep reading. Now, the proconsul was an intelligent man, and he sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the Word of God. Most intelligent people who are really intelligent want to hear the Word of God. But somebody say that name. I want to say Elymas.
Elymas?
Yeah. All right. John knew him. They lived back in the same day. You knew that was coming when you did that. I mean, I can't help it, John. You said it. Now, this fella, I don't know why they changed his name here, because I like calling him Bar Jesus, because that describes his attitude. This guy who is Bar Jesus opposed them and tried to turn the council, proconsul, from the faith. What did he try to do? What did Bar Jesus try to do? He tried to bar Jesus from this Sergius council, from this Sergius Paulus, the council. Now, I want you to watch what Saul does. Saul, who was also called Paul, and that's one of the first times you see the change, okay? Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at this Bar Jesus character and said, "You are a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. You will never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord. Now the hand of the Lord is against you, and you're going to be blind, and for a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun." Now hang on a second. I don't have the ability to read somebody's heart to know that somebody would continue forever to pervert the ways of the Lord. Neither do I have I been given the ability by God to strike anybody with blindness. Which is probably a good idea. Because had I had that ability, there would be some kin to me who would already be in trouble. Now, here's the point though. Don't miss this. How serious does God take us having a chance to talk to people about Jesus? So serious that when somebody tries to keep you from having your chance to say something about Jesus, or tries to keep someone else from listening to what you have to say about Jesus, Paul, by the power of God, struck him blind. We have grown up in a culture that's basically taught us we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to offend anybody. And you know this is right. I do not think we should intentionally hurt anybody's feelings. I don't think intentionally we should cause anybody to feel bad about themselves. But telling people about Jesus is so important that if somebody tries to stop you or stop them from listening to you, they stand... They stand opposed to God. And it's all right. It's all right for God to have His way with that person. All right. Keep reading. Verse 13. Now, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga and to Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went down to Pisidia of Antioch. Now, folks, I'm serious. When I was a kid, I went to church and I learned all these names. I learned about Antioch and Pamphylia and Pergama and Paphos and Salamis. I learned those names and I memorized what in those days they called them the missionary journeys of Paul. And I learned all those places. Now, I'm not talking about my teachers. I'm talking about this student. I learned all those places, but I didn't know anything about what he did in those places. And you know what he did in those places? Whether it was in a Jewish synagogue or a Greek market, you know what he did? He talked about Jesus. Can you do it at church? Yes. Can you do it at work? Yes. Can you do it in the market? Can you do it with a text message? Can you do it on Facebook? Yeah, you can talk. Just tell people what you know about Jesus. Now, keep reading. He goes back. They sat down after reading the law, the prophets, the synagogue rulers sent words. Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak. Now, standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, Men of Israel and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, He led them out of that country. He endured their conduct for about 40 years in the desert. He overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to His people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. Now hang on a second. Have we read any of this before? Those of us who grew up going to church know, what's He doing? What's He doing? What's He giving us? He's given us an overview, a background of the Old Testament. So you want a cliff notes, a Paul's notes of the Old Testament? You got it. This is what happened. All those Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers books. All right? And then after this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and He gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him. I found David, my son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior, Jesus, as He promised. Underline it. Underline it. Remember it. Every story in the Bible, every story in the Bible is summed up in, summarized with, concluded by the name Jesus. So somebody wants to talk Bible, talk Bible with them. Somebody goes to church and they quote Scripture all the time, let them quote Scripture. Because at the end of every story, at the end of every Scripture, there is the name Jesus. Because the whole point of Abraham's promise was to bring Jesus. The whole point of David being king was to bring Jesus. So let's let people who are very Bible-based, God-fearing, read the book, quote the book, love the book people, let's let them tell us those stories, and then we'll finish the story by telling them about Jesus. Now, I got to bring it up here because I didn't think about it until today. Until today. I was driving up here. In fact, I was driving up, getting ready for class, and it dawned on me. I've heard people in this room. I've heard people. Of course, not just in this room. I've heard it in Christian colleges, and I've heard it in schools of preaching and institutes of Bible Institute stuff. Places. They know what I'm talking about. I've heard us in those places say, well, if somebody already knows the Bible, there's just nothing left to teach them. What? No. The more Bible they know may make it a challenge. It may slow the process down a bit, maybe. But every Scripture written by God brings faith. Let's let that faith grow until it's focused on Jesus. And Paul starts talking about Jesus here. And he talks about before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, Who do you think I am? I'm not the one. No, but he is coming after me, whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. Keep reading. Brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to you that this message of salvation has been sent. I don't know how serious you believe this. I'm convinced of it. I do not believe that anybody sitting in this room right now is here by accident. I believe God has worked in your life some way, somehow, maybe over years of time, to bring you to this place at this moment in time for me to be able to say to you what they said to them. And they said it, that gives me the right to repeat it. That this message of salvation has been sent to you. You're having a chance to hear about a message of salvation, and a week ago you might not have been here. 2 weeks ago you might not have been here. A lifetime ago you weren't here. We weren't here. But you're here now, and this message is what's being taught. They said it, I'll repeat it. It's to you that this message has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers didn't recognize Jesus. Yet in condemning Him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. And they found no proper ground for death sentence. They asked Pilate to have Him executed. And when they had carried that out, all that was written about Him, they took Him down from the tree and laid Him in a tomb. But God raised Him from the dead. And for many days, He was seen by those who traveled with Him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now His witnesses to our people. Did you hear it? I get a chance, you get a chance, just to tell people what you know. Do you know that He is the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson of a fellow named Abraham? And the great-great-great-great-grandson of a fellow named David? Do you know that He came to live in this world? Do you know that they crucified Him because they didn't believe Him? Do you know that they laid Him in a tomb and on the third day God raised Him from the dead? Do you know that? Do you know that? This is not a hard question. Do you know that?
Yes.
Yes, I know that. Did these eyes see it? Did these ears hear it? No. Did these hands touch it? No, no, no. But do I know it?
Yes.
Because they saw it. They said it. I'm going to repeat it. Let's stop worrying about all the religious hoops we have to jump through. Let's stop worrying about all the religious obstacle courses that we feel like we've got to maneuver. And let's just start talking about Jesus. Verse 32. We tell you the good news. What God promised our fathers, He's fulfilled for us and their children by raising up Jesus. Now we're going to stop there for a second. All of this in chapter 13 so far that we've read is directed toward religious people. Let's don't avoid religious people. Let's engage religious people. I heard somebody say the last time we studied our good news, Jesus can. The Mark study, the last time we studied here. Somebody said, well, what if they already know all those Bible stories? Cool. Let's tell them again. Paul just quoted all the Bible stories these Jews knew and hadn't known all their lives. Go back and tell the story, because where does the story take you? It takes you to Jesus. Let that be your story. Okay? Now, look at verse 44. Look at verse 44. Oh, I got it. No, hang on. You got to see verse 38. I'm sorry. I marked it and skipped it. Verse 38. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Had a conversation tonight. Had not thought about it until the conversation tonight. So I learned something tonight. In this room are people who've been saved from addictions. In this room, there are people that have been saved from traumatic accidents. In this room, there are people who have been saved from the chaos that they either created in their own lives by sin or somebody else created in their lives by sin. But there are also people in here that need to be saved from their sins. Those are different folks. You can be saved from your addiction, but not be saved from your sins. You can be saved from an abusive marriage, but not be saved from your sins. You can be saved from the chaos of your life that you caused by your own imaginations. I try to be nice, right? But you still may need to be saved from your sins. And in Jesus is the forgiveness of sins. Verse 44, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the Word of God. When I walked over here, seeing that mass of kids and y'all slaughtering these chickens, I thought the whole city had showed up here to eat supper. I like the thought of that. I like the thought that the whole city was ready to hear what God had to say. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and they started talking abusively. They talked abusively against what Paul was saying. You know what happens when people start spreading lies, when people start spreading rumors, there's going to be some people that believe it. I want you to notice verse 46. This is a lesson we need to learn. Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first, but since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles." Look at verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. Now hang on a second. Here's the point I want to make. Growing up, well, I don't know about growing up. For most of my preaching life, back when I used to be a preacher, most of my preaching life, I spent a lot of time trying to get folks to talk to people about Jesus. I'm trying to get us to do the same thing. Now, I spent a lot of time back then kind of telling people what they could say or what they might not want to say. I'm just trying to tell us, let's just start talking. Just start talking what you believe about Jesus and watch what God does, right? But in those days when I was a preacher and telling people to do that, one of the things that would happen is they'd get fired up and then they'd go try it. And they'd walk over to their best friend and say, let me tell you about Jesus. And they would tell their story about Jesus and Let would look at them and go, "Huh?" And they would come running back to me and said, "Rex, I tried it. I went and told my best friend," and my best friend said, "Eh." So it doesn't work. You talked about Jesus to one person and they got upset, or they said no, or they didn't listen, or they didn't immediately do what you think they ought to do, and the problem is with God's Word. You didn't think maybe about your approach. You didn't think maybe possible about their heart. You didn't think maybe possible that what seed you planted today might bloom 25 years later. We stop. There are people in here, in this room. I can look at you, and I'm not looking at you intentionally yet. I'm going to look up so I don't get in trouble. But there are people sitting in this room right now that have tried it, and because it didn't work, you stopped it. And you might not ever be bold enough to say, "Well, it doesn't work," but you stopped because it didn't do what you thought it should do. Or they didn't do what they should do. I want you to look what Paul did. Paul did exactly what Jesus said to do. I love this. We got to learn this. At some point, those of us who are serious about being disciples of Jesus have got to learn about the tough side of Jesus. If somebody will not receive His Word, if somebody will not receive His free gift, if somebody will not receive His pardon, what do? You dust off your feet and you leave them alone. That doesn't mean be mean to them. That doesn't mean kick them. That doesn't mean deface them on Facebook. No. Or debook them. What do? Unfriend them. I can't remember that. I like deface them better. Wouldn't that be fun? I'm going to deface you. If somebody doesn't receive it, folks, let's leave the door open. If somebody doesn't receive it, we don't know what's going to happen. 25 years, well, it's been 30 now, but it's 25 when it happened. Dwayne Culpepper, this Dwayne right here that we talk about, that we know, that we love, that cuts my hair, this guy, I met him. Talk to him about the church. Talk to him about the Bible. Talk to him about Jesus. He wanted nothing to do with it. Tough stuff going on in his life. He didn't want to hear it. But he liked me enough that when his family suffered tragedy, he'd call and let me be of some help. But he wouldn't come to church. He wouldn't listen to any sermons. He wanted nothing to do with Bible study. 25 years later, Dwayne calls me and says, "Hey, would you tell me about that church?" And I was here. I got to be, and some of you got to be here the night that I heard Dwayne confess his faith in Jesus and be baptized into Christ. 25 years? So when somebody doesn't listen, don't be slamming doors. Deface them. No. Go to the next person. You don't have time to worry about the one that said no. You got to get the next one who may say yes. So sick them, y'all. Let's go get them. I want you to see what happened. Chapter 14. You don't see verse 3? Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of His grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. Look at verse 7. They continued to preach the good news. Keep reading. They end up going to a place called Lystra. They perform some miracles. People get all enthused. They want to worship Paul and Barnabas like they're some kind of gods. Verse 14, when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out in the crowd shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you." Stop, 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 stop. Maybe one of the things we need to figure out is that we're just human. When you talk about Jesus, does not mean that your life has to look just like His. Now, do you want your life to look like His? Yes. But how long is it going to take for it to look like His? How about the rest of your life until Jesus comes, and then it'll look like His? But there won't be any telling on that day. So let's get it told now and figure it out, guys. We're just human like they are. So are we going to have some weaknesses? Are we going to have some struggles? Oh, but I know we. I don't want to say anything because they might look at my life and see that I have... You know what they might do? They might look at you and say, "Well, at least that old boy understands what it's like to be me." And they might listen to you. They might figure out that you understand, that you need a little hope. They need some too. Let's quit thinking that we've got to know all the answers. That's another one. I can't talk to anybody because they might ask me a question I don't know. Where did Jesus say, "I want you to tell people what you know about me and answer every question they've got"? Really, that's why we have old people in church. Serious. That's why you say, "I don't know the answer to that, but we've got a fellow named John who's in the Bible." That just works out so good, John. I don't know which one he is, but he may be fourth John. Now, John, I just want you to remember, they laughed. I didn't. I just said it. And I'm not in control always. You know that. Guys, we're just human just like they are. We don't have to know all the answers to every question. We don't have to solve every problem. Well, I know you want to. I hear you. I hear you talking to each other sometimes. "Willie, why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? Why don't you... Hey, how about this? How about just shut up and listen?" How about just... shut up and listen and let that person talk. Learn what they need. Share with them what you know about Jesus and watch what God can do. Keep reading. "We're bringing you good news." I underline it, circle it. I can remember, you think I'm lying? Back when I was a boy going to church, it had never been defined. The word gospel had never been defined as good news. I bet you, I don't bet, but if I bet, I'd bet you that you go back, way back there in the dark ages, when I was a kid, you go back and you listen to sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. Read, they didn't have recordings, so you have to read them. But read sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. And never in my life, never in my life until I got in college did I hear that the word gospel meant good news. So can you imagine what I thought about preaching the gospel meant? Proclaiming the word of God meant. What do you think I took it as? It was basically like a sneak attack. You yelled at somebody something about, if you don't repent, you're going to die and go to hell, and then you'd run away because it was bad news. And people are going to, in fact, you psyched yourself up that way. Those of us who grew up hearing it that way had a hard time learning to talk to our friends about Jesus because it was bad news. It was going to hurt their feelings. We didn't think about it saving their souls. This is good news. And look what he says, telling you to turn away from these worthless things to a living God. I have no problem telling you. Twilight is a worthless thing. It is. Zombies are worthless things. Now, I don't care if you enjoy the entertainment, that's one thing. I'm just telling you, if you're really honest, it's a worthless thing. This is good news about something that matters. This is good. Keep going. He said, I want you to turn from these worthless things to the living God. I'd rather be a servant of a living God than fascinated with a walking dead. Does that not make sense to you? Hey, do you know where the... Zach's not here. You know where the idea of zombies came from? When Jesus was raised from the dead and the dead people were raised, back in the Bible, that's where the old idea came. It's a Bible topic. I dig it. Somebody starts talking about zombies, say, you know where they come from? It comes from the Bible. And you find that in the Bible. And I'm not going to tell you what book. But you can find it. You can find it and say, you know, it's in there. In fact, if you'll turn one more page, we'll be the good news of Jesus can and start reading Mark to them, right? Oh, you can get from zombies to Jesus if you want to. Turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, He let all the nations go on their way. Yet He has not left Himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Even with these words, the people had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Now stop a second. Do you notice a difference? And that's the reason I wanted to push all the way into chapter 14. Do you notice a difference between this story of good news and the last story of good news? In 13, he preached the good news about Jesus using what as his trigger? What as his foundation? What as his introduction? It was the Old Testament. Why? Those folks were big time believers in the Old Testament. When you're talking to a religious person, you're going to talk a Bible religious person, you're going to talk about Bible religious stuff. If you're talking to a Buddhist, start with Buddhist stuff. You're talking to a Muslim, start with Muslim stuff. Because you know where you're going to get? Well, I wish I could show it to you. Mark this Wednesday date down. The first Wednesday in April. What is it? First Wednesday in April. What date? Third? April 3rd. I want you to circle that date. I want this place to be so filled that there's not chairs. In fact, some of us are going to have to sit on the floor. And those of us who are here on a regular basis, stand up. I have to stand up the whole time. You can too. Alright? And baby, if you bring them to eat, so we need more food on that day, on the 3rd, when you get here, take your food and your children. I said children, not your little heathens. Take your children with you, over there. Take them over there. There's tables over there. You eat, clean up your mess. I do not want to have to clean up whatever we're having, but clean up your mess and then come back over here. But bring everybody you can. Because what we're going to do is I'm going to show you how you can get from there to there and never stop talking about Jesus. We're going to go from Genesis all the way to the maps and talk about Jesus. Make sure you're here. Make sure your best friend is here. Make sure your brother, your sister, your wife, your uncle, your husband, your cousin, even the ones that owe you money are here. All right? But religious people talk religious stuff, Bible stuff. But to folks that don't believe the Bible, he talked about nature stuff. We're going to talk some about that too. Do you believe that God created the heavens and the earth? It's okay for you to believe that. People think, and we've let people think that somehow we're the unintelligent ones because we don't believe in evolution. Guys, are you kidding me? Are you really? I don't have time to deal with this, but honest. The whole, and I love to talk to you about it if you disagree with this. And I'm not being mean to you. I'm just telling you honest. The whole thought of evolution is absurd, honest. It goes against natural laws of science, laws of nature that are recognized by scientists all over. They'll even admit what they demand we admit. They'll even admit that it's not a matter of evidence. It's just what they believe. Okay? You've got a right to believe that. I've got a right to believe this. And the cool thing is I've got evidence that supports my faith. That's what they did here. Paul talked to them about things of nature. And those people who were involved with nature listened. You're going to find people that want to discuss evolution. Ooh, I dig it. Discuss it. Listen to them. Understand where they're coming from. Understand what they think. And then tell them what you think. Tell them what you believe. Well, I don't know that I can answer everything they say about evolution. I'm just a human like you. I don't have to know every answer. All I've got to do is tell them what I believe. Jesus did not say to correct them. He said to tell them. Is there a difference? Yes, there is. I want you to look at verse 19. And we're done. Just a minute. Some of the Jews from Antioch and Iconium won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city thinking he was dead. Folks, how come they thought he was dead? Because he thought he was dead. I mean, this is not, oh, I think we got him, guys. Let's take him. No. They thought he was dead. The disciples gathered around him. Look at verse 20. The disciples gathered around him and he got up. What did he do? Now, folks, this amazes me. This amazes me. He went up and started telling people about Jesus. They got upset with him, drug him out. They stoned him, drug him outside the city and dumped him. They drug him, folks. They did not carry him on a stretcher. They didn't put him in a cushioned ambulance ride out and lay him out on the ground. They drug him out and dumped him at the dump where they took the dead bodies. The disciples gathered around. He kind of woke up and did what? Hang on a second. We hadn't had that poem and that invitation song yet. I mean, he went right back in to teach them. He didn't back off. Oh my goodness. I'm not going to say anything because they might say no to me. It'll hurt my feelings. Oh, I can't talk to anybody because I get too nervous. I heard this one Sunday. Oh, I can't bring that up because it makes me nervous. Oh my. I'm so sad it makes me nervous. Paul got stoned to death. All but. And did what? said, I got something to tell you. And he walked right back into the city that they had just drug him out of. I'm not finished yet. I'm not either, so hush. Look at verse 21. Verse 21. And they preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Guys, if we could get over our pride, if we could get over our hurt feelings, if we could get over our fears, if we could get over our arrogance, if we could get over our prejudice, if we could get over ourselves and just start telling people what we know about Jesus, we might just win a large number of disciples. Sure, we'll have to order more chicken. Sure, we'll have to get another refrigerator to hold all the Cokes. Sure, we'll have to buy a few more tables, bust out a wall or two. I don't know what we'll have to do. That's not what concerns me. What concerns me is, where does it start? Honest, where does it start? Starts with me. Starts with you. Doing what? Talking about Jesus. To intelligent people, to not so intelligent people. To religious people, or not so religious people. In Jewish synagogues, or in pagan marketplaces. Let's talk about Jesus. Right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, for these folks, their attention, their patience, their interest. God, bless their interest. Bless their interest in Jesus. There are people in this room, God. I know it. I know it'll be true. They're good to share things with me. There are people in here that need to let you take away their sins. They need to let you give them a new life. I'd ask that they'd make that decision tonight. And there's folks in this room, God, that have had tough days, tough weeks, tough months. And it's caused them to be distracted, and it's caused them to be angry, and it's caused them to be bitter. God, would you restore their hearts to hope, hope in the good news. And then there's some of us, God, in this room, that just need to grow up. We need to get serious about Jesus enough to, so we can say something about Jesus to our friends. And God, help us just start there. If nowhere else, if we can't do anything else, let's just start there. Help us talk about Jesus to our friends. Help us introduce somebody to the good news about Jesus. I thank you, God, for every person that taught me, for every person that influenced me to read my Bible, every person that influenced me to consider any truth I was ever taught about Jesus. I thank you, God, for every one of them, and I want to be like them. I want to be one of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, y'all. To the good, bad, and ugly.